Hello and welcome to PMU Unfiltered. If you're not sure what you're listening to, this is a permanent makeup pod and video cast. Yeah, that's right. We're out here tattooing people's faces. So if you're new to the industry, if you're a veteran to the industry, come with me on my journey through permanent makeup because we're keeping it real, we're keeping it raw, and most of all, we're keeping this PMU unfiltered. Hello, hello, and welcome back to PMU Unfiltered. I'm your host, Marlo, and today I am in my parents' house. I am not in my New York City apartment filming this or my studio filming this, wherever you think you go to with me filming this. But today I am in my parents' house out in Long Island. I have a friend that came and visited her family all the way from San Francisco. Big ups to the Bay Area. I love San Francisco so much, and I love my friend that lives there. But she was back home in Long Island, and I knew the only way I was gonna be able to see her was to come home. So I have been tasked with the most important duty tomorrow to drive them to the airport back to JFK. God, I'm such a good friend, must we say? If you're watching on my YouTube channel, you can see that my makeup is a little subpar and my hair is still drying from a shower. My pants are undone because I over-dried them in the dryer. So we are permanent makeup, unfiltered, unhinged, and also unbuttoned. We're doing our best here today. And mildly caffeinated. Not totally uncaffeinated, but a little bit. I had to run out to Dunkin'. I'm a ride or die for half and half in my coffee. I just need it. And like my parents, they only have skim in the house. So at 6 o'clock this morning, I ran out of the house. I don't leave my apartment, even though I'm up at like 5:30. I don't leave my apartment until like, I don't know, like if I have a bar class or something like that, at maybe 9, 10. That's the best I can really do. But today it was dire. I needed coffee. I have to start my day with a little caffeine. I'm spitting all over the place. This is out of control. So ran out, got some Dunkin', love me some Dunkies. Who else out there is all about the Dunkies and would prefer Dunkin' over Starbucks? It gon' be me. I'm one of them. I know that's like such a like a Northeast like region type thing, but I know a lot of people are like ride or die for the Bucks. So I'm a Dunkin' kind of gal. What else do I want to say? Yeah, it's just been weird being here in my house all alone. My parents are away in Mexico. They went to Tulum. I'm getting married in Tulum in December. So they wanted to like get a pulse for Tulum, check it out, which is really great because it's going to be better for when we're hosting everyone at the wedding, just so someone else can turn to someone and be like, hey, how do I get this? Oh, is this a good place to go when I have a little extra time? So they're there right now, which is also, you know, absolutely terrifying that they're just alone in Mexico, checking out the venue and talking to people without me. But you know, it's fine. Everything's fine. Everything is fine. I bet they feel the same way about me being in the house without them there. They're like, oh, it's going to be a mess when I get back. But I'm being like really, really tidy, you know, just to, you know, get those points. You know what I mean? But nothing like being home on Long Island makes me think about the phrase, the statement, keeping up with the Joneses. And I think I kind of forget about what it's like to keep up with the Joneses because when you live in a city like I do, I live in New York City, you guys know that. Come on now. Like we fam now. We're home. We're back in my childhood home. So we hella fam right now. But living in a city, it's interesting because you live so independently, but also you live so codependently. You live in the confines of public transportation and walking with people down the sidewalk and stuff like that and holding doors for people because there's a lot of like street traffic and pedestrian traffic. It's kind of crazy. Also, there's a lot of independence involved with living in a city. You are a sole operator. You know, there's not many people that can rely on, you know, what time they're picking you up and carpooling. And at least in my life, you know, some of these people in New York City, especially some of my clients, they're bougie. And they're like, oh, you know, our driver came in and like our third nanny just wasn't able to make it today for our two kids. You know, it's crazy. Like, I don't know if you guys have some like really, really high-end clients, but like, whoa. It's kind of crazy how like some of these really, really wealthy clients of ours, they have really busy schedules, but like they don't work. And during pandemic, I made maintaining my apartment and like doing like home things and like cleaning and organizing and having that like apartment like up and running. I was like, damn, being a stay-at-home boo-boo could be a full-time job. I was like, Marlo, get out of that. Get out of that. You gotta go and make that money, girl. You gotta go and hustle. You know? So like, it was one of those moments where you're like, yeah, being a stay-at-home wife can be a full-time job. Mm-hmm. I do see some of my friends that are stay-at-home moms and or like doing like a little bit of like digital work on the side. Like one of my friends is a film editor, but she works from home, but she's like definitely more of a full-time mom. That shit, so much work, especially when the kids are like starting to really need a lot and you gotta like be on their ass. I just watch my friends have arguments over the iPad. I'm like, just take it away from them. Put sneakers on them, send them outside. And my friends are looking at me like, Marlo, you don't understand. It is a fight that I just don't have in me right now. And I'm like, okay, I don't know. I just have cats. When I'm done dealing with their shit, I'm like, you're done. Because they get the zoomies like so crazy. Still, not kids. You know, I don't have to bring them places and make sure they're socialized and saying please and thank you, which is hella hard. Back to the original topic of like keeping up with the Joneses. So growing up on Long Island, I grew up with a really suburban lifestyle. And maybe you grew up like that. Maybe you didn't. Maybe your parents like worked a lot. Maybe you grew up in a single person household where you hardly saw your parents and you were cooking for yourself at the end of the day, coming home from school. Like there's so many different dynamics out there. And I do feel very blessed having a lot of dynamic friends that I keep the company of very dynamic people. I'm not the kind of person who only collects people that are like me around me. It really makes you appreciate like the things that you have, the things that you don't have, gives you motivation to work harder. You hear other people's stories and it can be really inspiring. So I definitely recommend, just because someone has had a different life than you, it doesn't mean that there isn't something to be learned from it. It's cool. Back to keeping up with the Joneses, because like I do know that a lot of you guys out there, a lot of you permanent makeup artists, you're probably living that suburban life and doing your fucking best. And I really give you a lot of credit. I want to talk about the dark side of keeping up with the Joneses, because I drive around here in Long Island and I'm like, wow, where I'm from is really middle class. But out in Long Island, middle class is still pretty good income. Like the taxes out here are really high, so you have to have a decent income. The houses are pretty, you know, like over half a mil for sure. And then if you want like a decent, like upgraded house, like you're definitely pushing that, like that mil mark. You're probably around $800,000, just to give you an essence of the market out here. Now, my parents did not grow up like that. This house they've had since the 80s. Along the years of growing and watching my friends' houses get bigger and upgrades and stuff like that, it definitely caused a lot of that anxiety to keep up with the Joneses. When you're working in permanent makeup, maybe you're hustling and grinding and you're watching other artists really explode. And I definitely took the bait on this as well. So this is like my forewarning of keeping things realistic, and it's okay not for things to be like 100 perfect and sexy, and you know what, you don't need to apologize to anyone about it, because I was there. I was working in a really, really, really small studio space. It was like 110 square feet. It was like just my bed. And this was right after pandemic and things were good. My rent was low. I was making good money. I felt comfortable in my small space. I was looking at everyone else around me grow. And maybe that wasn't realistic from a New York standpoint, because to have space and square footage like that is, it's not reality here, or not here, but there in the city. To pay that type of rent is fucking hard. You want a storefront in New York City, you're talking about 10 grand flat, and it could be a shithole in the worst neighborhood. Storefronts in the city are nuts. You know, I took the bait because I was working in this small space and I was really inspired when I went to Mara Cosmetic Tattoo, I think that's how she titles it, Anna Boken's class for a lip pigmentation training course. I wanted to learn more and I was really happy I took that course. I got a lot of value in it, especially when I was working alone, taking a course especially like in a masterclass sense of educating myself more to feel more confident, I was ready. And if you guys watch a lot of my YouTube and stuff, you know when you hit that breakpoint that you need to take a class. If you're just expecting to go to a class and being handed the book of knowledge because you've done like two or three and you're just like, I don't know what I'm doing, I can't do this anymore, and you're not dedicating the time and the practice on the latex, and you're just like, I'm just gonna take a class isn't a supplement to hard work and dedication and practice. If you have the tools in your kit, but you're just not dusting them off and practicing and using it, like, it's not time to take another course. I struggle with some of the advice I give you guys because it is so personal. You guys know this. I'm a scrappy bitch and I am a very self-taught person. I'm very good at watching something and replicating, seeing how someone's hand is, looking in the video and seeing where, how, what machine speed someone's using, watching the cadence of how someone like pushes on like an eyebrow and like that zzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzz methodology to it. There's like a metronome to someone and how they work. When I'm at a bus point, I do seek additional classes. But when I went to that studio, I was like, wow, so cool. It's in a strip mall. And not to take away from it, it's not like a nasty strip mall at all. It's in like a strip mall, like in the South, which is, in my opinion, like they're all, everything's a little bit newer and nicer. Like strip malls out in Long Island, like, are definitely from like the 70s and 80s. But it was like a newer strip mall situation on the second floor. And then when you enter the studio space, she's got the receptionist desk. There's a girl there greeting you. And there's one room that's dedicated to all the beds laid out for the clients. And then there's a back room that's totally dedicated to the classes and the courses that she runs with all of the desks lined up and then all of the beds lined up. To me, I was like, whoa, that's the standard, Marlo. Like that's what it has to be. And I made a huge, huge financial mistake last year. It was financially depressing. It was emotionally depressing and mentally depressing. I really put myself in a very comparable position where I didn't have my head on straight. I jumped the gun to keep up with the Joneses. When I came back from that class, I was really motivated and I think I was doing really well and I was making a lot of good money in my small space. And I was like, you know what? Let's flip the script on this and move into a bigger space, build it out, put the beds there, get people in for classes, get people in for courses, get some artists in there to like rent space from me. And I did that. And I absorbed a very, very high rent, even though I was not storefront. Every day, day in and day out, I was really bound to my business. And it was a really difficult place for me because I couldn't do anything else. I couldn't book any vacations because I knew I would need that one client to come in to make $500-$600 or maybe even flip that client to a double service or be able to like take all my touch-ups at that time in the month. I don't know if I've been so vulnerable with you guys about what happened last year. I don't want to make it a whole podcast because it's like kind of a fucking bummer. But, you know, I'm here to tell you like my mistakes that I made. So yeah, I couldn't find any artists to rent the bed from me because people didn't want to commit to the rent. And if you think you're going to go out there and like blast your doors open, have like 5 or 6 beds and like rent beds, people don't want to commit to the rent. They want to commit to commissions. Some people, or at least where I am, this is what I notice is my experience. Because rent, you have to hit, you have to make your mark, you know? And then if you're in an area with permanent makeup artists that are making, that are selling services for $250 or still like in a model phase or something like that, they don't want to pay rent. They just want to do day rates. And you'll see when you put out those potential opportunities out for other people. This is so nice with my pants still unbuttoned. I can't button. I literally can't button them. They're so tight. I have to walk around and like, you know, sweating them a little bit, like maybe go for a walk after this. And I couldn't get any bed renters in. I couldn't find people for classes because there just like wasn't enough. After signing a 5-year lease, I was in a really like, I was in a shithole. I really was. And my fiance was like, this is not working out. You're miserable. I'm concerned about you. And financially, like he's a personal trainer. So we work together with our finances and financially, you know, this is like really stripping you dry, and this is not the future that we were working towards together. We work together here in New York City, and he's in no position to be covering my life and my lifestyle, and I just don't have that luxury. And I love that. That I am so okay with it. I value my independence. I value creating value for myself with my own business and my passion. And I like hustling. I mean, but this was a whole nother hustle. This was not anything to like about it. This was just like an exhaustive, horrible relationship with this new space. And it really just put a terrible, terrible taste in my mouth. So I ended up reaching out to the leasing company with a lawyer. I hired an attorney to get me out of a 5-year lease after being in a lease for only 1 year. So if you're in a lease that you think you can't break, it is amazing what you can do when you hire an attorney. When you hire an attorney and they start that conversation with your leasing office out the gate, your leasing office is going to have a very different conversation with you in regards to what your contract says and whatnot. I did the math. I paid an attorney. Again, in the essence of being unfiltered, I paid an attorney $5,000 to begin the negotiation with my leasing office. I broke my 5-year lease. It was not this big, ugly battle that I thought it was. My lawyer really protected me from not having this back and forth ridiculousness. Ultimately, $5,000 was far cheaper than what was to come for the next 4 years ahead of me paying rent in that space. So if you're going through this, I understand. So try to look at it like that. It was really not a great situation. And I was so down on myself. So if you're out there and like you're going through this, it's okay. Don't hang on by tooth and fucking nail, just by like a thread, just to prove that you're in this and you can do it. If you're in this like an emotionally sickening spot, and financially, like you're ripping through a 401k, you're ripping through your savings to present your business as if it's something else, it doesn't fucking matter. You have to take care of yourself. You have to take care of your future financially. You have to make financial decisions that are going to maybe not be so emotional. You can't take these emotional decisions and dictate what is your next move, because that's not reality. Your financial decision is your reality. Your clientele and how many clients you get per week is your reality. I really urge you that if you're someone out there making emotionally run decisions for your business, stop, take a beat, and look at the numbers. The numbers do not lie. Maybe you need a part-time job. And yes, I know you're thinking, well, if I'm a bartender or I'm working in a coffee shop, I'm gonna be missing a client. But what if like 2 days a week, you just like bartended Friday and Saturday night? You're not missing a client Saturday night. So go out, make $300 if that's like what you can swing. It doesn't matter who's seeing you at the bar bartending. It doesn't matter how big your space is and how hard it is you're scrapping together, making something work. Finances don't lie. I remember having these thoughts. Oh my God, everyone's gonna see me as a failure when I move spaces. I started believing that I was a failure moving spaces. What are people gonna think is really your deepest, darkest thoughts and your judgments of what you place on other people. I think it's a really great reflective moment to stop judging others. Who are we to judge what other people do? It is not your business to place judgment on how people operate their households, operate their businesses, what their businesses look like. I mean, sure, you know, sanitation and all those type of guidelines are a must. Take a beat and stop judging people, and you will be kinder to yourself. I know you're thinking, well, when someone looks at my business and watches me move into a smaller space again, what are my clients gonna think? What are my friends gonna say? What are all these permanent makeup artists gonna think? It doesn't matter. You gotta do what you gotta do to make this work if you love doing it. If you don't love doing it and it's time to pack it in, that's okay too. But if you love doing it, there's a way to make it work. Go back to being a nurse. Compound your schedule in a certain way. I'm here to tell you that keeping up with the Joneses is bullshit. Do what's best for you. Do not worry about what other people are thinking of you. The finances don't lie. And if you're passionate and driven enough about something, you will do whatever it takes to make it work. You will learn Canva. You'll stop complaining about posting on social media. You will show up for your business if you want to make it work. And you will stop making excuses. So I say that with a lot of love, a lot of understanding, a lot of knowing that this is not an easy game to play. I'm here for you guys. I do coaching for other permanent makeup artists, and we sit down for like an hour. You can reach out to me, you can DM me, you can talk to me, we can talk about the things that you want to talk about. I do have an hourly rate. We peel through yo shit. We get through what you need to get done. The more you tell me, the more I can see the holes in the what needs to be done and little bits of homework and personal advice. I'm here to give you the best I've got for hundreds of listeners, guys. I have hundreds of listeners on my podcast. Thank you so much. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe. That's how you're going to find out that I'm doing more, right? I do help people out individually. So if you need help peeling through yo shit, hit me up, send me a DM. Email me, marlacosmetictattoo@gmail.com. My DM, my IG account is Marlo Cosmetic Tattoo. I know we're on PMU Unfiltered, but you know I run this through Marlo Cosmetic Tattoo. If you've been here, keeping up with the Joneses is bullshit. You know what is best for you. And if you don't, I will help you find that idea and get real with it. Again, please subscribe. Comment down below if you know you've had a hard time keeping up with the Joneses. I've got some things to do this morning. Let's get out of Long Island. Let's get back into the city and get the city vibe going on. Thanks for tuning in. This is All in Love because this is PMU Unfiltered.